every memory I had was Winnie Cooper.
What's she doing?
Nothing.
That was a long time ago.
Kev!
What?
She had an accident. In a car.
A special Wonder Year.
And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back.
Wonderlings, this is Angela Bowen, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years of Wonder Years podcast. I am going to be getting out this episode, The Accident, Season 4, Episode 20, which aired on April 24th, 1991. I'm getting this out a little bit early just because it's coming on that time of the month and I'm not going to be into doing any podcasting this weekend. I know. That's how I get at the end of the month. Anyway, guys, I know. Too much TMI. Another thing I decided you probably already saw on Instagram was the Wonder Years Sports Edition, which I had originally planned to do and then start Season 5. Well, what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to finish the last couple episodes of Season 4, The House That Jack Built and Graduation. I'm going to look at the Wonder Years one, which is mainly just a complete clip show, and see if that's even worth doing. But after that, I'll start Season 5 in April, but I'll sprinkle the little sports episodes, like, kind of throughout, so that way we can I can stay on track and everything with finishing up the Wonder Years, you know, for the year of 2018. And I'm also going to, once I get done with the sports episodes, I'm going to go into the first jobs segment of that after the sports ones. And then after that, I'm going to be going through the episodes that I passed over from Season 2 through 4. But all along the way, you are going to be getting all of Season 5, all of Season 6. Except for some of the episodes that I've already done, like the Christmas episodes, the summer episodes. Those ones, some of them I've already done. So like I said, just I'm staying on track and just sprinkling up with the sports episodes and the job episodes and then the episodes I passed over. Also, you guys may have noticed that I started including Mr. Belvedere. Tea Time with Mr. Belvedere, my podcast there, is coming to the Wonder Years podcast. So those episodes of the Belvedere podcast are going to now be on the Wonder Years podcast for you guys to enjoy. And those episodes are not, I'm not going through every single one. I have the episodes that I picked for each season, two for each of the six main characters. And then, of course, American Dreams is going to be maybe once a month to start out with. We'll see. Those episodes of American Dreams are at least an hour long. You guys know I really don't take notes anymore because that takes up a lot of time. So those episodes of American Dreams are going to be sparingly at first until I finish the Wonder Years in completion. Also, I'm thinking maybe this summer. You guys know that around Christmas time, I did a lot of, you know, movie TV special reviews. Well, there's a few movies that I really would like to do commentary review for that they're near and dear to my heart. I really don't see any other podcast episodes about them. And, I mean, if you guys think that's cool, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it regardless anyway because I love these movies. And I just want to share them all with you. Not all. Just a select few. So, like I said, Season 4, Episode 20, The Accident, aired April 24th, 1991. After breaking up 2 months ago, Kevin sees Winnie for the first time. However, it becomes obvious to him that she has changed and is no longer the same girl he knew growing up. Well, she hasn't been that girl since her brother died. When he sees that she's now hanging around 11th graders in cars, no, Winnie, no, don't do that. He worries that he is nothing more than a piece of her past, which In this episode, she does say she just wants to erase the last couple. We'll get into it. But she wants to erase just the last couple years since her brother's been gone. She's at another school. She wants to just put all of that reminder in the past. And she's at this new school. She's got an identity. I mean, whether or not she tells them that her brother died in Vietnam, I don't know. Maybe she did. Maybe she didn't. Maybe she just doesn't want to be the girl with the dead brother and the broken family. But as they say, you can't run, you can't hide from your past. You can try to cover it up, you can try to shove it in the back of your mind, but the past is always going to come back for you. Actually, real quick, I want to read this IMDb. IMDb rating for this episode, The Accident, is 9.1 out of 10. That is really amazing. And there are two user reviews I would love to read here. I wish I was born in the 70s. This review was done in September 2010. Well, I luckily stumbled upon The Wonder Years a year back. Searching for something else, I guess. I had never heard of it before, but literally this is the best thing that ever happened to me. And so many people have said previously, this has just changed my life completely. Who the hell is calling me? Hold on. Yeah, see, this is why I never answer the phone if I don't recognize the number. I just thought it's a local number. Of course, it was an automated crap message that I'm like, oh, hello, hello. Oh, it's an automated message. Click, bye. All right. So, where did I leave off? The feelings of love, friendship, childhood memories, and emotions that you get from this drama series just blow your mind. I cannot really pick a single episode to be my favorite because this one just truly stands out in a sense that it depicts love. It projects that how love finds a way when there is a fear of losing someone you care about a lot. And one more thing, first love lasts forever. The next one here is also a 10 out of 10 rating. Kevin encounters Winnie again, but is she still the girl next door? This review was done in 2004. Don't worry, there are no spoilers in this review because it would be unfair on those people not yet lucky enough to see this episode to lessen its impact. Suffice it to say, this is the episode where Winnie Cooper returns to the series. The two childhood sweethearts, Winnie and Kevin, went their separate ways after Winnie moved schools. The episode starts with Kevin seeing Winnie in their old street for the first time since the school coaches went in different directions to the strains of... Oh, this person's referring to the episode where she kind of breaks it off with him and then they get on the separate buses when they went to that museum. To the strains of God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. What is she looking for? Obviously, Kevin hopes that it's him. But there is a brittleness about Winnie that hints at a girl who's missing something but isn't sure what. As Kevin gets drawn back into Winnie's world, he starts to worry that she's looking for what's missing in all the wrong places. Anyone who has encountered an old flame after a while apart will identify with this episode, which is about as deep and full of impact as a 25-minute TV show could be. Be prepared to shed tears at the end when the final song and situation blend together as perfectly as any I've ever seen in the show, or indeed in any other. It is a perfect episode and the high point of even this great series. Guys, I wanted to read these reviews because there aren't a whole lot of user reviews on the episodes, but for this episode, I wanted to read them because, guys, these reviewers are right. This is an amazing episode that will pull at your heartstrings. And without further ado, let's get into the episode. Season 4, Episode 2, The Accident. Now, unfortunately, I don't have the episode clip to play a lot of clips from, but I am going to try to get what I can. At least the most meaningful to me. I'm going to start with reading the opening quote from Adult Kevin. Narrator, there are things about your childhood you hold on to because they were so much a part of you. The places you went, the people you knew. Somewhere in every memory I had was Winnie Cooper. I knew everything about her. What I didn't know was that she was falling apart. The episode opens on adult Kevin flipping through an old memory book. We get birthday cards given from when he and Winnie are like 6 years old. They flip a page and there's other stuff from like when Kevin and Winnie were maybe in kindergarten or first grade. We even get a cute little snapshot of a young Fred Savage. Oh, he looks so cute. On the opposite side of the page is a report card with Kevin Arnold that says something elementary. So it must be just before he gets into junior high. There's also a 4-H ribbon. Really? So in the town that he lives in, they have 4-H? Because I grew up in Lowell, and it's a farming community, a farming town, and they had 4-H. They had the youth fair. I never got to do 4-H. I know that there's more than just, you know, raising livestock and everything like that. There's also sewing and scrapbooking and other things that, I guess, when I last talked to my grandma, she did say, you know, I asked you if you wanted to do that, but you told me no, that you didn't want to. And when she said that, it did make me think, it's like, yeah, I was very super shy. I'm still kind of socially awkward, even to this day. And by kind of, I mean really socially awkward. And I can imagine I probably would have said no. If someone had said something to me that hurt my feelings, I immediately shut down and I probably said, I don't want to do this. I'm just thinking about it. That 4-H ribbon, what if that was for that little scrapbook memory book that he made? What if that's what he got that for? But on the opposite side of little Kevin's Fred Savage's snapshot, we also get one of a young Danica McKellar, a.k.a. Winnie Cooper. They look so adorable! They're black and white snapshots. Because, of course, you guys know that this is set in the, by now this would be like 1971, so. Which is interesting because the episode aired in 91, so it's like 20-year time difference here. So we move from a scrapbook memory book opening to the roller rink. And as we've seen, Kevin is not a good skater. Like, not at all. And you know what? Neither am I. I think last year I did try to get rollerblades. Like, oh, I'll try rollerblading on the side, you know. And I could not keep my balance for the life of me. Of course, I returned the rollerblades. Like, okay, these are not for me. Rollerblades are expensive. Even for a decent pair, I mean, a non-expensive pair will probably run you like $40-some, $50. And I know some people are like, oh, that's not bad. It's like, for someone of limited funds, it's kinda, that's still expensive. So all this skating and everything reminds me of a funny story that happened when I was like 7 or 8 years old. My sister and I had went to see my mom. My mom's friends had taken my mom out, and then my sister and I met her at the roller rink. Or maybe it was just me. Maybe Nicole wasn't there. But I was really unsteady on skates, and I was like kind of hugging the wall, like kind of gripping the side and everything. I got a little confident, like, okay, as long as I'm going kind of like moving slowly and everything, I think I got this. Well, guess what? I don't think I was watching where I was going, and I ran smack dab into a couple of people, and all three of us went down. I started bawling, and it's just like, oh my gosh. But, I mean, there were other instances later, like when I was in sixth grade, I also, phys ed was, we get, once in a great while, we could go to the roller rink, the skate rink in Lowell, which I don't even know if that's open anymore, or if anyone even goes to it. I have no idea. Every time I go back to that town, there is something, when you go down Main Street, there is something different. Something's been closed, something's taken its place. I mean, that town does not even have a Burger King, and I worked 3 different times at that Burger King. But anyway, that's my skating story. 7th and 8th grade were pretty much spent bowling. That's why I like skating a little more. Because bowling, you gotta be put on a team or create your own team. The gym teacher always had to put me on someone's team and always made me feel uncomfortable. So, we got some asshole jock that is like eyeballing Kevin, and then he rears up and slams right into Kevin's doing nothing. He's hanging on to the sidebar and everything. And then luckily, Paul grabs Kevin just before he goes down. It's like, what an asshole! That jock in the Letterman jacket. Come on, you don't do that. I know, guys, I know. Teenage boys, they're assholes sometimes, I'm sure. Not all of them. But, jock mentality, I guess. It's like you gotta prove you're stronger, better than everyone. Not all jocks. Guys, I'm gonna stop talking right now before I offend somebody. So Kevin, luckily, is like, all right, I'm getting out of here. It's like, I don't feel safe now that someone just charged into me and practically knocked me on my ass. But all of a sudden we hear a, hi guys! A female voice turned around. Guess who skates up to him? It's Winnie! Oh! She's gotten taller! Look at her! So guys, I'm gonna play the interaction with Kevin and Winnie and Paul here. It's really sweet. It's like she's been gone for a while. It's been 2 months since they've seen each other and everything. She's gotten taller in those 2 months. But I want to play this clip because it's really sweet. And you can just kind of see, like, Kevin is still a little awkward about around Winnie, but she's just all smiles. And I love Paul's like, hey, stranger, where are you in? So I'll play that clip. I'll be right back.
Getting out of here.
Not that I didn't have my own style. In fact, I turned lack of balance into an art form.
Hi, guys.
Winnie.
Hey, stranger.
Hi.
Hi.
Have you been?
Good. You?
Okay.
It had been 2 months since Winnie and I broke up. But to me, she was still the same.
You changed your hair.
Yeah, and I got my hair scared. See? Uh-huh.
They look good.
You really think so?
Sure.
Fact is, she looked beautiful.
So, how's Roger?
Oh.
Roger Dekovian. Her steady guy. Her constant flame, her...
Roger and I broke up. See you guys.
Needless to say, it came as a complete surprise.
So Paul right away notices, like, oh my gosh, you changed your hair. And she's like, yeah, I did. I also got my ears pierced. And Kevin's like, yeah, it looks nice. She's like, really? He's like, of course, very nice. So he asks, you know, hey, how's Roger? And then, of course, the narrator, adult Kevin lets us know this is Roger, who she started dating. She basically broke up with Kevin and started dating this guy. But she broke up with him. Roger was, I guess, a little fling that lasted 2 months. It's like, wow. It just seems kind of a waste. It's like, so you broke up with Kevin. Don't know how long exactly they had been together to the point of... She breaks up with him, dates a guy for 2 months, and then drops him. It's like, it just, I don't know, it just kind of seems like a waste. You went through breaking Kevin's heart to going out with some guy and dumping him after a couple months. But obviously, it just wasn't what he wanted. So, now, but, you know, she goes off, skates with her friends. Kevin ends up slipping again on his skates and in the process pulling Paul down with him. Oh, guys, like I said, I was part of that little collision with two grown adults when I was 8 years old. And let me tell you, that was not fun. That hurt. So in the next scene, we got Kevin doing some bicycle repair. It looks like he's putting a little oil in his spokes and everything in the garage. Do people really do that bicycle-type maintenance with their bikes nowadays, or do they usually just send it to somebody? I mean, I'm sure there's lots of YouTube videos on how to keep maintenance up on your bicycle and everything. But that, Kevin gets another surprise as who comes walking up the driveway? Oh, it's Winnie. Oh, Winnie. So she asks, you know, hey, you busy? And he's like, oh, no, of course not. And she's like, well, do you think we could talk? And he's like, sure, of course. So guys, I'm going to play this clip and I'll be right back.
But not as much of a surprise as when she showed up at my house the next day.
Winnie, are you busy? Well, no. I was just... No. Why? Can I talk to you? Sure. You want to go inside for soda? Sure.
After all, an occasion like this called for a little privacy.
Winnie! Oh, this is a surprise.
Hey, Mrs. Arnold.
Privacy being hard to come by when your mom's clogging up the kitchen.
Can I get you kids something to eat?
Well, no thanks, Mom. We're fine.
Oh, really? Well, if you want anything, just... give me a call. Okay?
Thanks. It was really nice seeing you. Mom?
Uh-huh. Especially nice seeing her go.
Want something to drink?
Great.
Have a seat.
And we were alone. Together. At last. Not that I knew why, exactly.
So, what do you want to talk about?
Well...
You could see in her eyes it was something deep. Important. Possibly even philosophical.
It's really going to be fun going to high school, isn't it?
High school?
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh! Yeah.
Yeah. High school.
I mean, it might be good to be in a new place. Don't you think?
Well, sure.
Me too. I was kind of getting sick of junior high. I mean, you feel like you're stuck with the way things are forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Never mind that I didn't have the foggiest idea of where this was going.
So, is that what you wanted to talk about?
Well, yeah, kinda. Anyway, I have to go.
Well, wait, you didn't even finish your soda.
That's okay. Thanks for listening, Kevin.
Sure. Anytime.
I'll see you.
And there you had it. Our first real heart-to-heart in months. Just one little question.
So Kevin decides, you know, if we're going to have, you know, talk, why not, you know, go where it's more comfortable, the kitchen, right? And, of course, when they walk into the kitchen, who is in the kitchen already but Norma? And she wastes no time giving Winnie a hug, like, oh my gosh, we haven't seen you in ages. I haven't seen you in forever. And it's almost like Winnie gets a little nervous, like, oh. But luckily, Kevin kicks his mom out of the kitchen. Like, mom will be fine because she asks him, you guys want anything to eat? He's like, no, we're good. Thank you. So Kevin pulls a couple glasses from the cupboard and pulls out a bottle of squirt. So basically, he's just going to pour one into two glasses. And it's just weird now because... being the times, I'm thinking he's got that bottle, well, it's not real, it's a glass bottle of squirt, and I'm just thinking it's probably the equivalent of, like, a 16.9 or 20 ounce, and I'm almost thinking, like, wow, they each could have their own, but I don't think that's how it goes. It didn't go that way. It's like he took one bottle and split it between two glasses. But anyway, you know, they sit down, and it's like, Winnie is really, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of, conflicted. She's conflicted. It's like she wants to open up to Kevin, but she's just too nervous as far as maybe whatever is really going on. So she pretty much just says, you know, I'm looking forward to starting high school in the fall. And he's like, oh, high school, yeah. I mean, because the way that she had come up to him, like, she wanted to talk about something really important. So, of course, Kevin's kind of disappointed, like, oh, she just wanted to come over to talk about starting high school in the fall. But then she starts to say how, you know, it feels like you're in junior high forever. And I like the idea of going to a new school, which she's already done that. So she's probably ready to get out of that school, like, and go to high school and everything to start with a whole bunch of different kids. Because, like junior high, different elementary schools are funneling their kids into this one school, depending on where you live in the district. Same thing with high school as well. I think it depends on where you live, so. But she doesn't even drink her, that cup of squirt that Kevin gave her. She's like, oh, I just, you know what, I gotta go. It's almost like she gets spooked. Like, she's afraid that if she opens up too much, she, See, this is why Winnie needs to talk to a professional. Like, and really, she should have gotten out these issues long ago, because it's like, now it's finally getting the time. She's older. Everything's slowly, all of a sudden, really bubbling to the surface now. And Kevin even's like, oh, you gotta leave? You didn't even drink your soda. Or, you didn't, he's like, you didn't finish your soda. I'm like, did she even take a sip of that? I don't think she did. But she's like, well, I gotta go anyway. And she leaves. And then now we move to the school day where Kevin's kind of relaying this conversation that he and Winnie, supposed one-sided conversation. You know, he tried to, like, yeah, I get it. Definitely feel like you're in junior high forever. Because they'd been there for 3 years, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Although not all junior highs go that way. Mine was 6th, 7th, 8th, and then 9th is high school, 9th through 12. But Kevin, or Paul just looks at Kevin like, you know what? You can be so dense sometimes. So Paul kind of gets the understanding, like, isn't it obvious? She broke up with Roger. She came to your house. He's like, don't you see what this means? She wants you back. It's like, is that it? I don't know if that's it, Paul. I mean, it's an interesting assumption because she broke up with her boyfriend and she shows up, starts talking to Kevin and everything. It's like, Kevin for Winnie, I think, is that touchstone of he's been there with me. He's my whole life, he's been a good friend. So when I need someone to confide in, like, really confide in, because her friends are just that. They're just friends. She doesn't confide in them any real problems. But she sees Kevin as someone that she could do that with, that she can actually open up with. Because, you know, I'm sure there are like that. You got your friends that you hang out with, but you don't really go into real personal, like, oh, something's going on and this and that. But you do have the friends that you do actually confide in and stuff like that. So in the back of Kevin's mind, hearing this from Paul, he's kind of like, well, it's not like I hadn't considered that. But then what Kevin says is, like, you know, I don't think that's right. And he even flat out tells Paul, it's like, you know, Winnie and I, we have a different relationship now. It's like, they're not boyfriend and girlfriend anymore. They're just friends. So this rando kid just comes up. It's like, hey, I hear the Super Cooper is single again. Are you going to go for her? And it's like, wow, she goes to a different school. How did that news travel so fast? Unless other people probably saw her at the roller rink. This is where all the schools converge and hang out and everything. So they probably, well, she doesn't have her, you know, Roger on her arm, so she must not be with him. So Kevin just looked at him like, no, I'm not going to go for her. But the kid has the balls to say, well, do you mind if I do? And Kevin's like, yes. Like, get the hell out of here. What are you even doing? I mean, what? do you need Kevin's permission to go after Winnie? I mean, I don't know. This guy's just some... Everyone's calling using the basic term. This kid is basically just... By looking at him and his attitude, he's pretty basic. There's not a lot to him. So the kid just walks away, and Kevin just looks at Paul and's like, you know what? I don't want to hear it. So now Kevin's walking home from school. Does he really take the bus that much, or is he pretty much just booking it to school? Or booking it, just walking from... I don't know. But here, he's walking home from school, and guess what? There's Winnie. She's kind of gazing at her old house. So we got kids in the front yard of this house playing baseball. Yeah, that's a real great place to be playing baseball. You're going to sink one of those hits into that one of those windows there. But, certainly enough, guess who's sitting on the curb? Little girl, dark hair, braids, and holding a football. Wow, could they be any more obvious about what this means? Little Winnie. No, it's not Winnie, but... Sorry, guys. But, yeah, this definitely gets Kevin's old familiar memories flowing. So, at first I thought, oh, that's Winnie's house. I'm like, no, it's not. Then Kevin turns around and he's staring at Winnie's house. So, the kid's playing ball and whatnot in the front yard. You know what's interesting? Remember the pilot when they had kids playing football in the street? You don't see any of that here. And that was just 1968 in the first season. Now we're in 1971. Oh, and when Kevin moves out of the line of vision here off to the side, who do we see staring at the house? Winnie. She's got... excuse me, guys. She's got this really cool fringe jacket. I really, really like it. So Kevin calls out to her and kind of... heads up the driveway to her, and all this time he's thinking, you know, maybe Paul was right, maybe this is the reason that she's here, like, maybe she wants to get back together. I mean, he's not putting all his hope in that, but the fact that a couple times in a week that she's been in the vicinity of where he lives, I mean, she's not seeking him out this time, it's more like... she's looking at her old house and everything and these memories and just how different things are. The person that she's not the same person she was when she lived in this house. It's almost like she's looking for answers to questions that she can't even... She just wants to... So she just kind of asks him, oh, do you know who lives here now in my old house? And he's like, well, it's just some random family. I mean, I don't really know them. And she's like, well, are they nice? And he's like, well, you know, they seem all right. I mean, from what I see, you know, it's not like I go out of my way to talk to them or anything. Oh, he says he says they're okay. I haven't really met them. Really? Norma hasn't come over and introduced herself and brought over a casserole? When Jeremy and I first moved into the house, I don't think anybody came over and welcomed us to the neighborhood. Not that I can think of, anyway. I mean, we don't even know. We've gone through two sets of neighbors in the almost 9 years we've lived in this house. And this the house next to us was recently just bought, I think it was last fall. And I don't know exactly what they're doing with the house, whether the couple are just fixing it up and then moving in, because they bought it, like, late last summer. And I'm guessing that they bought it so they can fix it up and maybe rent it out. So, I don't know. So she just kind of turns to Kevin and says, you know, it was really nice talking to you yesterday. And he's like, oh yeah, you too, it was very nice talking to you. And I'm just kind of thinking, like, he didn't really delve too much. It was just basic, you know, school and this and that, which, like I said, maybe she's not ready to fully open up about what's going on. And maybe she doesn't even really know what, you know, is going on and everything. Maybe she's just a lost young teenage girl who's trying to figure things out. She wants to go back to the simpler times when it was her parents and her brother. That's why she's staring at her old house. Like, in such a small amount of time in the last couple years, look at all that's changed. So I'm going to play this clip real quick of their conversation, because she does, in fact, say, there are a lot of kids there that I really can't talk to. I don't have anyone that I can talk to. In fact, I really don't fit in there. And it just seems like she was for a short amount of time. It just seemed like, but then again, that could have been her mask. Just pretend that I'm happy and everything and people will be nice to me and all that stuff. But underneath, she is just absolutely destroyed. Just everything with her parents, with her divorce, with her brother's death, really messed Winnie up emotionally. So I'm going to play this clip. I'll be right back.
It was really nice talking to you yesterday.
Yeah. It was nice talking to you, too.
There aren't a lot of kids in my school I can talk to. I don't think I fit in there.
What? Winnie, that's ridiculous.
Kevin, it's just kind of hard to explain, okay?
Okay.
It's funny. Doesn't even seem like I ever lived there.
The thing is, I knew I should say something. I just wasn't sure what.
Well, I better be going. My mom's expecting me home. So I'll see ya.
Yeah. See ya.
It was strange. Suddenly, she looked so out of place on the street where she'd spent her entire life.
Winnie? You maybe want to go out sometime?
No, thanks. I think I'd just rather be by myself.
And that was that. Simple. She wanted to be alone.
So as Winnie kind of walks away, Kevin calls back to her and she stops in the street and he's like, hey, do you think you might want to go out sometime? And she's like, no, I think I'd rather be alone right now. And then we flash to the next scene at the roller skating rink, and Winnie is more than alone. She is not alone. In fact, she's got at least 3 guys hanging around her, older guys. And Kevin's there and he's seeing this and he's like, what is with this girl? It's like she's playing him hot and cold. She wants to talk to him 1 minute. Then she's like all standoffish. Like, no, I don't want to hang out. I want to be by myself. And now she's talking to these 3 older guys. It's like, Winnie, what's going on, sweetie? I know you're kind of mixed up right now, but Kevin wants to be there for you. But you're not giving him an opening. I mean, I know you want to talk to somebody and everything, and you want to try to figure things out, but let's not... Don't do that to Kevin, you know? He's a great guy and everything, and the fact that you broke up with him just to date Roger for a couple months and then drop him, I don't know, that just... She's playing him hot and cold right now, and I don't think that's cool. It's like... One way or the other, sweet. I know, guys. I know she's upset and she's got a lot of crap going on right now. Well, actually, it turns out Winnie's talking to an older guy, and then there's this other guy in a Letterman jacket who's talking to this long-haired blonde girl. So while Kevin and Paul are lacing up their skates on the bench, Kevin looks over and is like, I don't believe this. And then Paul's like, what? And Kevin's like, well, those guys, they're juniors. And it's like, Winnie's a 9th grader. I mean, are they even considering, is that freshman for them? I mean, it was freshman. 9th grade was freshman for me. I'm guessing that 9th grade still means you're a freshman, you just haven't started high school yet, is my guess. I don't know, guys. Schools do things differently, especially back in the 70s. So Paul really doesn't see the problem here, but Kevin is like, Paul, we are talking about guys with driver's licenses here. Like, Kevin is seeing, like, this is kind of dangerous. Winnie's always been the object of guys' affections and attention and everything, especially, you know, even since season 1. I mean, she got Kirk McRae, always guys following her around. But now these are guys that are at least a few years older than she is. What is going on here? I mean, she broke up with her boyfriend, she's currently single, it's okay to flirt and everything, but it looks like... I was mulling this over all yesterday, and even last night while I was trying to fall asleep, and this is what I'm kind of thinking. I mean, feel free to, you know, disagree with me or however, but, or agree. Is this Winnie's way of maybe acting out and getting attention? I mean, you know, her parents had been so... It's like Brian Cooper, her older brother, was the golden child, the great son who everyone loved, and then he died. And all their grief was, their main focus was on, oh, we lost our son. They didn't realize, you also have a daughter, excuse me, a daughter here that needs your attention. I'm really kind of wondering if maybe this was a way her kind of acting out a little bit. It's maybe a way to get attention from her parents, maybe, you know. But, I mean, they noticed her, like, her dad moved back home from Chicago when he saw her in that play from our town. So, I don't know. I really don't. Oh, shit. Hold on. Sorry, guys. That's the timer. My lunch is done. I'll be right back. But Kevin kind of thinks to himself, it's like... You know, it's not so much that she's hanging out with older guys and, you know, that have driver's licenses. It's the fact that she's all happy and smiling when the last couple days that she's talked to Kevin, she's been moody, she's been sad and depressed looking. Kevin, she's wearing a mask. Okay, that's not Winnie. That's, I'm among other people. I don't want to tell them my problems because they don't care. That's her, I'm faking it, because I feel like shit inside, mask. Like, just pretend everything's happy, that's what people want, especially people you just met. They don't want to know your sob story. Like I said, I don't think any of those kids at Lincoln even know her brother is dead, or that she even has, or had a brother. Because why would she want that? She doesn't want that attention on her. That's probably why her parents... moved because they got tired of being the family of the dead son. And they didn't want that black cloud hanging around them anymore and that grief. So it's like, fresh start, new house, we'll move, you'll go to another school, and you'll get a fresh start. But now Winnie's kind of realizing, like, yeah, there's people that I talk to and stuff like that, kind of, sort of friends, but like I said earlier, they're not the friends that you could delve deep into your problems and your issues and everything, because then she'd have to reveal, well, my brother was killed in Vietnam, and, well, my parents separated for a bit. We used to live somewhere else, now we move here. You know, those are the friends, they don't really want to hear that. And she doesn't want to divulge, so. Get a load of Paul's Harvest Gold shirt. Sweater, whatever you want to call it. Did anyone have Harvest Gold or olive color appliances back in the late 70s and 80s? Because I remember we had a dryer that was olive colored, and we also had a refrigerator that was olive colored as well. And then eventually I think we just went to white appliances. Dang it, Des, I'm sorry, I just got done having lunch. It was butter chicken. It's a frozen food meal. It's by Chef Bombay, B-O-M-B-A-I. It's sold at Walmart. If you guys like that, but it's basically just white rice with, like, cut up chicken and then that marsala sauce. It's really good. I think I've been eating that now for probably over a month now, and I'm not sick of it. The price of it is usually right around, like, $3.96 or something, so maybe one day I'll get sick of it. But you know, my curse, guys, if I don't buy it, they'll stop making it. But I still love it. Okay, anyway, back to the olive green appliances real quick. We had a dryer, and the thing is, the door, I guess, would pop open, so we had to have this long walking stick propped up against the wall of the laundry room and the door of the dryer to keep it shut. And then eventually the thing died or something, and then my dad just replaced the appliance. But I remember that. Granted, I didn't really care to be going in the basement. I don't even like going in our basement here now. That's why Jeremy does the laundry and I do the dishes. Because I suck at folding laundry. So Paul gets up and he's just like, hey, you want to skate or what? And he just skates off. Kevin's just kind of sitting there like, I really don't want to skate. You know, his heart's not in it. He was just there kind of, I guess, to support Paul. Maybe see, I don't even think he expected to see Winnie there. So he was just kind of surprised. So Winnie and her male companion and female friend and companion, male companion, are all like, hey, let's hit the rink floor. And then that's when Kevin gets up off the bench. He's like, all right, it's time we had a talk. Right now, Kevin? Well, she's heading out onto the roller rink floor and you can't skate worth a shit is not the time to have a talk. She's with people. She doesn't want to talk. She certainly doesn't want to talk out on the roller skating rink floor. You're just going to make a fool out of yourself. You're going to make a scene. All that stuff. You want to have a talk? Great. Why don't you go to her house and confront her there? Because at this point, I don't think he can just sit around and wait for her to come to him. Because the first time she came to him, the second time she was staring at her old house, and he confronted her there. So, I don't know. So I want to play this clip between Kevin and Winnie. And she's all smiles here, like, hey, Kevin! And then he's going to be the dopey downer with a, hey, I want to talk about the other day, and how you were acting, and who are those guys, and why are you with them, and does your mom know? No, actually, that comes later. All right, guys, I'm going to play this clip.
Hi, Kevin. How you doing? Me? Fine. I see that you have some new friends.
Yeah, they're really nice guys.
Okay.
Well, Winnie, it's just the one we talked yesterday.
Oh. You said, I really don't think that's any of your business, Kevin.
Hey, Winnie! Mom, we're doing a whip.
I'll be right there.
I couldn't understand it. This girl.
So Kevin goes up to Winnie like, hey, Winnie, we gotta talk. And she's, well, at first you're like, oh, hi, Kevin. And, you know, everyone's kind of pulling Winnie out onto the floor of the skating rink to crack the whip. And, of course, that's when Kevin's like, hey, look, Winnie, we gotta talk. And I get one of them goes for the other person's hand. It might have been Kevin. And Winnie just, you know, as everyone's getting ready, there's like three other people. They're all holding hands. One of them's got Winnie's hand. And she's like trying to shake Kevin off as everyone, you know, is trying to get going. And she's like, Kevin, and Kevin, let go of my hand. Kevin, you're holding me back. And then Kevin's like, I can't let go of your hand. It's like he's already in motion. It's like if I let go. But she does kind of wring her hand out of his grip, and then he goes flying into one of the walls or whatever. Not really a wall. A barrier, I believe. Like, that is not the way if you want to talk to somebody. You don't go out there, and especially if you can't skate. And but I just remember even watching it before, and when she's like, Kevin, you're holding me back, I think there's an underlining tone to that in a way, like, not just you're holding me back from having fun, more like,
you're holding me back from moving on. Because Kevin is, reminds Winnie of Winnie's past, of Winnie's life before, and she just really seems to want to put all of that behind her. So after Kevin crashes into that barrier, he's just kind of sitting there slumped on the floor, because he probably can't move, because he's in so much pain. He's watching Winnie, and she's laughing and just having a great time, and he's just like, this girl, what is wrong with her? She's, like, out of control. I mean, Winnie's not a drug taker, but the way that she's reacting, you'd think she were on some type of semi-hallucinogen, some type of thing that's making her really happy and loopy. I don't know. I don't think weed does that. I mean, I've never smoked that shit, but I have no idea. Something is just, I still say it's a mask. I still say that's her mask, and she's just, Winnie. Sweetie, this is going to lead you down a very dangerous road. You need to listen to Kevin. So I'm guessing this is the next day, because Kevin is pedaling his bike to her house. This house is really, really pretty. I love the blue and white. It's like the shutters are like a deep blue, like royal blue or navy blue. And then it's like the top part of the house is like a light, kind of a lighter blue, like in between a shade of light and dark. I don't know. Oh, it's got a cute little window, but like for flowers. What looks just above the doorway there. On the second level. But anyway, enough about the beauty of her house. Okay. Winnie and her mom are there. Like, they just got back from a store. And they got the trunk open. And it looks like Winnie's got a sleeping bag. Huh. Why do you have a sleeping bag, Winnie? Huh? What's going on here? Let's see. And even as Kevin's kind of riding as we get into this next scene, he's like, I don't know why I pursued her. It's just that I was worried about her. And he is. He's being a friend to Winnie right now. And he says, I think it's also because I wanted to know that she needed my help. Of course, Kevin can't stay hidden behind that tree for long because Winnie's mom spots him. Like, hi, Kevin. And the look on Winnie's face when she turns is like a mixture of fear and I don't know if I want to say disgust, but now it's almost like I talked to Kevin once about this. Now he's just going to constantly dog me and try to bring this out when I specifically said I don't want to talk anymore. It's like, oh no. Like, Kevin knows, like, she's hanging around with older guys. I really don't think Mrs. Cooper really knows who Winnie's friends are. So Kevin's all chill, like, hey, Mrs. Cooper, as he rides on over. Oh, they got some groceries. And Kevin's like, hey, you need some help? And Mrs. Cooper's like, no, that's fine. And Winnie right away goes for the other bag of groceries. And she wants to get in the house. She does not want to talk to Kevin. But Mrs. Cooper is adamant, like, Winnie, stay here, hang out with your friend, spend time with your friend. You guys haven't seen each other in, like, ages. When in actuality, they probably saw each other, like, a week ago. And here's the thing, Winnie, if you didn't want Kevin to constantly hang around you like this, you shouldn't have come to him and just half-explained what's going on or just kind of hidden what the real issue is. Because you know Kevin. You dated him. You've known him since you guys were little kids. He thinks there's something going on. He is going to hound you until he gets that out of you one way or another. If you didn't want that, you should have not even spoke up and said anything. And you shouldn't have searched him out and come to his house. So, Mrs. Cooper's like, it's good to see you, Kevin. You should come around more often. Oh, I love that sleeping bag when he's holding is, like, in plastic wrap. So, they must have picked it up while they were getting the groceries. So, her mom leaves. And Winnie, I swear, is so reluctant and uncomfortable But she just offers a nice little low. Hi, how you doing? I wish you weren't here right now. This is really awkward. So I'm going to play this clip of the conversation between Kevin and Winnie. She does apologize for how she was acting the other day. And Kevin's like, don't even think about it. It's cool. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
And we were alone again. Again.
Hi. I'm sorry about what happened yesterday. It's okay. I just wanted to make sure you were alright.
I'm fine, thanks.
And she did look fine. Which left only one thing to say.
Winnie, does your mom know you're hanging out with 11th graders?
Apparently, the wrong thing.
Kinda. Why?
Well, it's just...
Look, Winnie, you know when you know somebody, but then all of a sudden you don't, and you feel that you kind of missed out on something because they're not being like the way you thought they would?
Kevin, what are you talking about?
Nothing.
But it wasn't nothing. I just couldn't say what it was.
New sleeping bag?
Yeah.
Were you going on a trip?
Camping.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
We go every year on Brian's birthday. The anniversary of his birthday. I hate camping.
Hey, Winnie, come on. Let's go. Yeah, come on, jump in.
Well, I gotta go. So maybe I'll see you.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How are you?
Maybe I'll see you.
Great.
So now we transition to nighttime. I think Kevin is just standing on the sidewalk and just kind of looking over at Winnie's house, her old house, and just thinking, you know, there's a time in my life when I saw Winnie Cooper every single day of my life. But actually, before we get into this, basically, the clip, Kevin's concerned. It's like, he straight out asks, like, does your mom know that you're hanging out with 11th graders? And Winnie, of course, is just looks at him like, she does. She kind of knows. Like, well, what exactly did you leave out? And then Kevin mentions, you know, the sleeping bag. Like, hey, what's up with that? And Winnie's like, well, we always go camping on Brian's birthday. And then she adds the anniversary of his birthday. And she says, you know, I don't like camping. I think probably not like camping, but the fact that you're going camping on the anniversary of the birthday of your dead brother, that's gotta be uncomfortable. I mean, just that uneasiness, it sounds like it's more for her parents than for her. Like, hey, let's all get together on your brother's birthday, you know, he loved camping, let's do this. It's like, she does it because that's what her parents want to do, like, as a family for the three of them. And given the current state of Winnie's mood, that is probably the last thing that she needs to be doing. Like I've said in previous, especially with dealing with this now, that Winnie, yes, she needs to speak to someone. I know that was probably taboo for 1970, but she should have seen, they all should have been seeing somebody from the time that happened and onward. But, okay, let's flash back to Kevin staring at Winnie's house in the dark, and then how he mentions that, you know, I used to see Winnie every single day growing up, and we flash back to, you know, one of the early, I think this is episode 2 of season 1, Swingers, when the whole sex ed PE deal, and he kind of sees Winnie across the way getting home from staying at her aunt's house. This is fresh off of the death of her brother. I know, right now we're towards the end of season 4, and in 1991, this is when this episode aired, but this one here aired in 1988, so we're talking at least 3.5-4 years ago. I mean, look how tiny Fred Savage is. He is like a baby Fred. He's, guys, he looks so cute. So we get a flashback. They're playing Winnie's theme. So they meet in the street or on the sidewalk, and she's like, they're like, hi, hi. His voice is so, I mean, this is clearly before puberty hit and his voice changed, but he just sounds so young. Anyway, she actually asks him, like, hey, what are you doing? Do you maybe want to do something tomorrow? And he's like, yeah, that sounds great. So she is actually asking him to go do something, where now it's more like he's like trying to, it's just, she's so much more approachable here. And this is fresh off her brother's death. I mean, she just seems bright and full of life compared to now in season 4, where she's extremely depressed and wearing mental masks. Just, oh, and there's little Paul across the street calling Kevin back over. They're like, come on, Kev, let's go. So Kevin and Winnie, you know, the day, they made a date to go hang the next day. And Kevin is flying high, soaring to the moon. He is ecstatic. It's like, yes, I'm on a date with my girl. Now we flash back to present day where Kevin's just, it almost looks like he is tearing up, like, just, you know, thinking, you know, that was a long time ago. She's different now. Boy, oh boy, is she different. Just her whole personality is different. But then again, they're 14. Before that, they were 11 years old. A lot of time has changed. A lot of shit has went down. Especially for Winnie. She has gone through so much stuff. Again at the roller rink, Kevin, come on now, it's like, they're constantly always meeting at the roller rink. Or it's just lucky timing that she's always there when he's there. But he wants to give it another shot and try to talk to her and everything. Oh, I love this song! Smoke It's in Your Eyes by the Platters. I love this song, it's so good. This is one of my favorite songs from the 50s and 60s era. It is beautiful. Kevin's inching his way out. Everyone's skating. Of course, he falls on his ass. Well, actually, he falls on his stomach. And Winnie goes over. She's skating with some jock. She comes over to his rescue. Of all the times that Kevin has fallen on his ass or some other body part in this episode, you'd think he would not even want to get back out on the rink. He's got to be so sore and have bruises that are still healing and still trying to fade away in places. But he is that adamant. He is that determined to get out there and speak to Winnie. Because apparently he can't get her any other time. Like, this is the only time she'll be able to talk because she's, all she can do is really skate away from, if she doesn't want to talk to you, she's just going to skate away from you. And what are you going to do but fall on your ass? Because you're not going to be able to skate after her, Kevin. So she's actually caring, like, hey, are you alright? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. And she's like, well, it was a pretty bad spill. I'm thinking, he's had a lot of those. He has had a lot of bad spills, Winnie. And he's like, yeah, oh, thank you. Thank you for caring. I'm fine, alright? It's almost like, hey, you've been giving me attitude. I'm going to dish this and give it right back to you. Oh, Kevin is getting tired of hearing those words. Kevin, can we talk? I'd be like, okay, yeah, sure, we can talk. Are we going to talk, or are you going to just tell me some fake crap about how high school is going to be hard again? Because that talk, I'd rather hear what's actually going on and not some fake bullcrap that you're using as a cover. But let's see what she has to say in this clip.
For a second, I thought I might actually get an answer.
Hey, Winnie! Hey, come on, we're going for a drive!
Great! I gotta go. Winnie, stop. Kevin, you're scaring me. What's going on?
I don't know what you mean. Winnie, I know you. Or I used to know you, and you're not acting like yourself.
How am I supposed to act?
Like you! Like the Winnie Cooper I know. Kevin, let me go.
No!
Why are you acting like this?
Because when I act like myself, everything goes bad.
So, basically, here in the clip, she's like, Kevin, can we talk? And he's like, I guess, fine. So, she's like, you know, and she even says, she admits it, like, I guess you think I've been acting kind of weird lately. And Kevin's like, not really. Well, actually, no, he does admit, yes, like, yes, you have been acting weird. So, she doesn't, you know, it's just, it's hard to explain, and he's like, well, why don't you try? But, of course, Kevin's like, alright, maybe she'll finally open up. God, they are in the wrong situation to be having this conversation that they're just standing there unscathed. But, of course, they're interrupted by three junior guys, no girls, I might add. One guy calls up, like, hey, Winnie, we're going for a drive, you want to come? Come with us. Point out again, there are no girls. Three guys that are at least a few years older than her are going to take her for a drive. Guys, is this going to, if they hadn't gotten, you guys know the accident. That's what this episode is called. They get into an accident. If they hadn't, would they have raped her? That's my fear. She's going around with three older guys. And there are no other girls there. That's what my fear is, that they could have raped her. I don't know. I don't trust. No, not older guys with a young girl. I know Winnie has always had guys kind of following her around, but these are much older guys. Guys that could probably even be tried as adults. In fact, and we're going to get to this, I think those guys should be tried regardless or whoever the hell the fucking driver was. If I were Winnie's parents, I'd be suing, like, you're paying my daughter's fucking medical bills, you pieces of shit. And Winnie's like, all right, great. And then she starts to skate away, and Kevin grabs her arms like, no, we're having a conversation here. You're going to tell me what the fuck is going on and why you're acting like this. And she's like, Kevin, let go of my arm. No, he's like, stop. But what is going on? And she's like, Kevin, you're scaring me. I'd be like, oh, well, you're scaring me, Winnie. Your behavior, how you're acting, you are scaring me. He's like, what is going on with you? And she plays all dumb. I don't know what you mean. It's like, you just apologized because you're acting kind of weird. And Kevin's like, you know what? I know you, okay? It's like, we grew up together, but at least I thought I knew you. And he throws it, it's like, you're not acting like yourself. And she throws it back in his face, like, well, how am I supposed to act? And he's like the Winnie Cooper that I know. And then she's like, you know what? I don't want to act like that, because every time I do, everything just goes bad. It's like, yeah, she's basically admitting, she's putting on a mask, she's pretending to be a different person, because every time she's herself, she's got all the shit to deal with her brother and her parents and everything. It's like, She doesn't want to go back to that person that she... It's like, she wants to, like, put all those feelings, all those memories in a box, lock it up with a key, and shove it far enough in her brain that would take a hypnosis to be able to unlock that box again. Kevin is very, I'm not going to say aggressive, but he is very demanding. But he is a friend, and he's trying to get her to explain what is going on. Because he cares for her. And he sees that this destructive behavior, the running off with the older guys, and this not acting like yourself. This is, like I said, she's heading down a damn dangerous path. And you know that because of the name of the episode is The Accident, and she's going on a car ride with three older fucking guys. And she says to him, which you hear in the clip, "I just want to forget the last 3 years." And Kevin just looks at her. She's shocked. It's like, what about me? And it's almost like, do you want to forget? It's almost like he's saying, like, what about me? Do you want to forget about me? It's like, do you want me to just be part of your past and part of your old life? And well, and she just says, you know, you just don't understand. And he's like, what do you want me to say? And she's like, nothing. I don't want you to say. She just skates off like, basically, we're done here. I'm going off with these guys. Oh my god, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Those fucking guys are going to rape her. They are fucking gangbang rapists. Oh my god. Oh. I'm sad that she got into an accident, but guys, if she hadn't, they would have fucking raped her. I know it. Those guys are evil. You can't say that they wouldn't have done that. I mean, those other girls, when she got in the car with them before, and there are those, like, two other girls there, it was fine. It would have been okay. Because it was a big group, but now it's just her and three older guys. So when it goes off with the guys, and they are just smiling, like, oh god, it's creepy, it's so freaking creepy. But then we see, you know, Kevin just kind of skates off, and we just hear, you know, him thinking, like, those 3 years were the best of his life. So here's a question here, did that take place on a Saturday, and there, or a Sunday, and then this is a Monday? Guys, this is when Paul comes up. And he's like, hey, Kev, about Winnie. And Kevin's just done. He doesn't want to hear about it. But guys, this is when he breaks the news. And I want to play this clip. Because this is just absolutely sad. Just the horror, the shock and realization that just dawns on Kevin's face. The seriousness of what happened. I'll be right back.
Kev. What about Winnie?
Paul.
Kev.
What?
I've done enough talking about her. Worrying about her.
She had an accident. Last night, in a car. With those kids.
So Kevin just kind of wants to put the whole Winnie thing behind him right now, and he's had enough. That's when Paul comes up to him, and Kevin doesn't want to hear it. He's like, Kev, about Winnie. And Kevin's like, Paul, really, right now? And Paul gets him to, like, Kevin, she had an accident. And that's when the realization and horror dawns on Kevin's face, the implication of what, of Paul's words. He's like, she had an accident last night and she was with a few with those kids, and Kevin doesn't hear anything else because Kevin is plowing through the hallway. He's like, I gotta get out of the school. I gotta get over to Winnie's house. And he goes over there and he starts pounding on the door like, Winnie, Winnie. She's clearly, you know, she's not home. And no one's home, in fact. So he just kind of sits down by the tree in the air. He just kind of waits. He waits for them to show up. And I guess he's there a while because it's dark by the time the Winnie and her parents get home from the hospital. I wonder if maybe Paul would have let Kevin's parents know where he is. Or I wonder if the Arnolds might even know what happened with Winnie. I mean, Paul knows. So the Coopers roll up in the car, and that's when Kevin gets up from sitting near the tree, and he comes over to them. And Mr. Cooper is the first to get out of the car, and he's shocked. He's, like, surprised, like, Kevin? And that's when Kevin's like, Mr. Cooper, is Winnie okay? And we see a silhouette of Winnie in the car. We don't see her face. We just kind of see her in the back there. So we don't know what she looks like, what conditions she's in. Mr. Cooper pretty much tells Kevin, you know, it's just a broken leg and some cuts. Cuts on her face. Which makes me kind of wonder, was she sitting in the front, maybe? Because if she was sitting in the back, I mean, this was a convertible. If this was the convertible that had shown up earlier, then if she was in the back, I don't know how much damage she would have sustained. But, okay, here's my theory. And I'm sorry to be going on about this whole rape theory, guys, because I love the show. I hate taking it in a dark turn. But what if she was in the passenger seat? I don't think that seatbelts weren't around in 1971. I'm pretty sure they weren't. At least not until the 80s. So, she's in the passenger seat. One of the guys is up there. He starts touching her inappropriately, maybe rubbing her leg while he's driving. She shrugs him off like, no, don't do that. He gets distracted, hits a tree. Or he gets distracted, swerves into the other lane. Or something to that effect. I don't know. That's just my theory. It's like, I hate to, you know, analyze this to death and everything, but I'm not trying to be a creepy pervert or anything like that. I just really, I don't know. I'm just thinking of the circumstances, like what led up to the accident. And, you know, Mr. Cooper does say, you know, she's gonna need some time to recover, but she'll be all right. And Kevin kind of asks, like, can I see her? And Mr. Cooper doesn't answer him right away. He just kind of looks away for a minute. And that's when Mrs. Cooper gets out of the car. She's clearly, you know, sitting there just kind of listening to the conversation. And that's when she kind of steps in. And she's like, hello, Kevin. And he's like, Mrs. Cooper, can I talk to her? I mean, you guys are going to hear this in the clip in a second. And Mrs. Cooper doesn't say anything. She kind of looks to her husband, and that's when Mr. Cooper turns to Kevin and says, Kevin, I think you should go home. And Kevin is just kind of, he's like, what? Like, he's just surprised at this cold shoulder, this brush off. And that's when Mrs. Cooper's like, Kevin, Winnie doesn't want to see you right now. And then Kevin kind of nervously chuckles like, of course she wants to see me. Why wouldn't she want to see me? And then finally Mrs. Cooper is like, Kevin, go home, okay? So he gets on his bike and he starts to ride away. And I'm going to play the clip here. I'm not going to play the song, guys, because I don't want to get in trouble. I know I played a couple scenes with the other songs, but I got to be careful, guys. I'll be right back.
I waited all afternoon. I didn't know what else to do. Kevin?
Mr. Cooper. Is she all right?
Well, it's a broken leg and some cuts. She's gonna need some time to recover, but she'll be okay.
Can us here? Hello, Kev. Mrs. Cooper, may I talk to her?
Kevin, maybe you should go home now.
What? Kev, Winnie doesn't want to see you right now. But that's impossible. I know she wants to see me. Kevin, please go.
And I guess that's when I finally understood. I'd been part of Winnie's past. A past she wanted to forget. And now? There was nothing to do.
So Kevin gets on his bike and he rides home. Well, he pretends to ride home. He just kind of hangs out while they go inside. Then he comes back and then he climbs up onto the second level of the house roof part. And there just happens, Winnie has a really nice window in her room. And Kevin just kind of hangs back. He sees Winnie's mom putting her to bed and getting her all set up. And he just kind of hovers just below the window frame. He just kind of looks in, sees Winnie's mom, you know, kissing her on the head. And from the inside of the window, we also get a quick shot of Winnie's desk, which has a picture of her and Brian from when she was like 11. She still had the pigtails or the braids and the glasses and everything like that. And we really can't get a good look at Winnie just yet. Oh, guys, we get a close-up shot of Winnie's face, and let me tell you, this is really heartbreaking to see her face all just, you know, cut up with a bandage on her head. She's got bruises on her face. My God. And now I'm tearing up. And I love Kevin, you know, adult Kevin, just saying how Winnie Cooper was a part of him. You know, his childhood and how he was a part of her. And we have the song We've Got Tonight by Bob Seger. I believe it's Bob Seger. God, you think I would know this, right? And I love how he says that for as long as we lived, I could never let her go. Oh my gosh, this. And Winnie kind of turns And she kind of sees him in the window. I mean, it takes a second for her eyes to register because her mom did shut the light off and it is kind of dark. There's no street lamp outside to kind of illuminate Kevin's face or anything. And I'm trying to kind of gauge her reaction because her hand is like on the comforter of her bed, just kind of gripping it a little, like she's surprised to see him there. And that, you know, he's seeing her in the condition that she's in. And he says, he whispers, "I love you." Oh my God, my heart is breaking so much. God, that boy loves that girl so much. And she looks at him and she says, "I love you too." Guys, you hear it in the clip. I know I said I wasn't going to play the last clip because of the song, but I had to play it. If it gets taken down, I don't know, but then I'll remove it. But I could not. This is so beautiful. This ending scene, guys, everyone talks about this scene and him professing his loose love for her. And she says that I love, she says, "I love you back." And that's how the episode ends. Just him just there. You know, that he's always going to be there for her. That, you know, no matter what happens in the future, you know, he loves her. Oh, guys, I'm sorry. I know it's Friday. We should be happy. The sun is out. But I'm bawling my eyes out right now. Guys, I have the booklet that came with the DVD for season 4 because I got the whole box set. Okay. And I kind of want to read this. It says, "Creative writing. This final scene is an all-time fan favorite and a total tearjerker." Guys, you know that because I've been choked up as we've, you know, just going through this. So feel free to grab a tissue and cry with me, guys. Okay. The narrator, which you guys kind of heard in the clip. "There are things in a life that matter. Things in a past which can't be denied. Winnie Cooper was part of me, and I was part of her. And no matter what, for as long as we lived, I knew I could never let her go." Oh, no. That is beautiful. Also, the featured songs in here, you heard "Tears of a Clown" by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, "Smoke Gets in Your Eyes" by the Platters, which I love, and "We've Got Tonight" by Bob Seger. Now, here's a little tidbit here from Bob Rush. He is the executive producer of The Wonder Years for this episode. "This could be seen as the episode where Kevin and Winnie finally grew up. Also, the first time and last they said, 'I love you.' The Bob Seger song worked great, and Fred didn't fall off the roof." Fred Savage, who plays Kevin. "So all in all, things turned out okay." Oh, that was nice. I like that, guys. Okay, so as far as the Wonder Years Flower Power rating, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. The only reason is for those jerk guys that took Winnie on that car ride that ended in this. That's the one that I took off. Now, the 4 reasons are, I love the flashback of Kevin and Winnie when they were young. I love the ending. Definitely, with the song "We've Got Tonight." Also, the Platter song. I loved that scene. I can't remember it. But just Kevin being there for Winnie. And even though she's like coming to him and pushing him away. And everything like that. We don't see anyone else. We don't see any of the Arnold family. They're not there. Well, wait. Guys. Oh, sorry, I recorded this over a 2-day span. Well, Wednesday, and I didn't do anything yesterday because it was really dreary and gross out. So I just pretty much laid in bed until I had to go to work. Actually, that's not true. I had to go and get some stuff. But anyway, we did see Norma. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to remember the episode. But it just... I love the episode. Just, I have a bunch of, you know, reasons for loving this episode. Just Kevin being there for Winnie, and even when she's coming to him and, you know, they sit and talk, he offers her a drink, and then just him risking his life skating, even though he sucks at it, just to be able to get near her and talk to her and figure out what the hell is going on. That's another thing. Wonderling Words of Wisdom. As far as this one, guys, if your friend is dealing with something, even if they push you away and you think, let me just give them their space, I mean, you could, I mean, to be respectful and everything, but know that they are just scared, they need someone to talk to, and they may not realize it yet, that they're working through some inner turmoil, like Winnie was. But eventually they'll be able to come around and ask for the help. Or if they're too scared to ask for the help, maybe you do have to be like Kevin and just be upfront and just kind of demand it. I don't know, guys. This is just, I've never been in a situation where I had to, well, I do have a friend that had a problem. She was really depressed and everything, so I guess I can't say that I've never been, but my friend and I had helped this other friend out, and she was, like, really, really depressed, and even on the, you know, even suicidal feeling, and I tried to give her the best advice. I even prayed, even though she's not really a huge religious person, but I did all that I felt that I had within me to be able to do. That eventually sometimes it's just out of your hands and you need to let the professional step in and take over. Because sometimes, honestly, as much as you care, words may not be enough. Like, they may offer comfort and everything, but they're not enough to solve the problem and whatever's going on. So, we got a couple more episodes left to go. I still got to check on the Wonder Years, the season finale, to see what that episode's going to be like, because it sounds like a lot of clips, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but if it's going to be really clip-heavy, that episode is going to be very short. But the next episode we got to go on is 421, The House That Jack Built. Guys, this is another serious episode. We are getting some serious episodes. And this is a culmination between Jack and his oldest child, his daughter Karen, who's moved out. You know, she's going to college and she finds a house so she doesn't have to be in the dorm. She's like, it'll save you guys money. And Jack, you know, gathers, you know, Norma and Kevin. I don't know where Wayne is for that episode, but he's like, all right, let's go help your sister. I don't know how far away this place is. But there is a surprise. There's a man there, and the situation is not... I mean, nowadays, if you're shacking up with a guy, unless your parents are hugely religious and everything and have their beliefs, I really don't think they're gonna really be like, I don't believe in this, I will not allow this. Jack is furious. He's like, my beliefs say that you live with a man once you become husband and wife. And we get a lot. Oh, Dan Lauria does an excellent job in this upcoming episode. Hey, Quinn. So I'm going to go from the booklet here. Guys, now looking back on this, because I only bought this just last fall, I wish I had this as a handy tool, because it's got some really, really cool stuff in here. Alright, so, season 4, episode 21, The House That Jack Built, original air date, May 1st, 1991. Jack and Karen argue after he discovers her roommate is a man. featured songs, To Each His Own by Ink Spots, and The Times They Are A-Changin'. So, spotlight on David Schwimmer, who plays... All of a sudden, I can't remember his name. What is... Michael. He plays Michael. Oh, my goodness gracious. Before he was Ross Geller on NBC's Friends, 22-year-old David Schwimmer played Michael the Carpenter on The Wonder Years. As the live-in boyfriend of Karen Arnold, Michael finds himself uncomfortably representing to Jack Arnold the changing morals and values of the era. Because this is 1971. Says... Schwimmer graduated from Northwestern University in 1988, and this was his first major television role. He appeared in 4 Wonder Years episodes, often riding his Triumph Daytona motorcycle. Alright guys, that being said, how about we say a warm welcome to some Wonder... Alright, let's say hey to some listeners. We got Baldwin Park, California, Westlake Village, California, Mountain View, California, Bakersfield, California. Whoa, you guys in California love this podcast. Thank you much. Phoenix, Arizona, Queenstown, Maryland, Lynn, Massachusetts, Boston, Massachusetts. And this looks like Antelope, California. I hope that's correct. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Eugene, Oregon, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Calgary, Canada, La Habra, H-A-B-R-A, California, Clinton Township, Michigan, Centerville, Maryland, San Luis Potosi, Mexico, New York, New York, New Delhi, India, Kansas City, Missouri, Amarillo, Texas, Beaumont, Texas, Middleburg, South Africa, although I probably mispronounced it, just South Africa, I'm sorry guys, Germany, Mexico, Charlotte, North Carolina, Joliet, Illinois, San Jose, California, India, Pune, India, this Kolkata, India. Guys, don't hate me because I mispronounce everything. INDORE, India. Paris, France. Sugarland, Texas. Iowa. KIEMME. Winnipeg, Canada, Los Angeles, California, Ukraine, Vienna, Austria, Nottingham, United Kingdom, MCALLEN, Texas, and Cairo, CAIRO, Egypt. Okay, guys, I apologize for those of you whose cities I've butchered, totally mispronounced names. I hope you guys are enjoying the Mr. Belvedere podcast, and like I said with American Dreams, we're going to take it slow with that one, guys, okay, because that's what happens when you get a bunch of podcasts, but with American Dreams, like I said, it's an hour long, and I do want to do it while I'm watching it, but I also, with that one, also want to take special care, because not only, with the Wonder Years, you're just dealing with one family and friends, right? Wow. With American Dreams, it's a little different. You not only have the prior family, which is basically husband, wife, and 4 children, we also have another family on the show. The Walker family, which is Henry, his wife, Gwen, oldest son, Sam, and their daughter, youngest daughter, Angela, and also the nephew, Nathan, who will come to stay with them. So that is a lot of storylines. That time primarily focuses on just after JFK was shot. So from like 63 to like 65, 66, somewhere around there. Because the show itself has only lasted 3 seasons, which is sad. I really wish it could have went on for longer, like the Wonder Years. But then again, you guys remember the last 2 seasons of the Wonder Years were kind of meh. They kind of ran out of steam there towards the end. And, so like I said, we're going to take it slow with that. I'm going to try an episode a month just to work it out and see how that goes. With that one, guys, I don't know about clips. It's really going to have to depend because, like, on YouTube and stuff like that, that stuff is heavily licensed. So, I just don't know about that. I don't want the podcast to be taken down. I really, really don't. I hope you guys will enjoy it anyway. That being said, we're going to finish up with the house that Jack built and the graduation episode. And like I said, I'll see about the finale Wonder Years one and see what that one has to offer. All right, guys, have a wonderful weekend. It is going to be gorgeous. Well, at least where I am, it's supposed to be gorgeous. It's supposed to be in the high... It's supposed to be in the 40s. And we'll see. Spring is a-coming, guys. It's March. Yay! We made it. We are almost there, guys. We are almost there. We will get out of snow territory, I would say, mid to late April. We really shouldn't be seeing any more. And even now in March, any snow we really see, well, I'm just talking about where I'm from. Anything we get from now on is just, I don't think it's going to stick too much. But then again, we have been hit with ice storms and stuff in the over the past 15 years or more. Surprisingly, in April, I've been through a couple of them. One spring break, I was in high school. There was a snowstorm. Oh, that was a bad spring break. That was my junior year of high school, too. And then, of course, there's a... April of 2003, when I was working at Hollywood Video, which no longer exists, and really bad ice storm, store was closed next day, still had to go in because everyone was dropping off movies, so we had to rewind them and check them in, because I guess we kind of didn't really have power, but we just hung around and just played, like, Trivial Pursuit, and this, guys, this was at the time that Jeremy and I hadn't started dating. Like, I had zero interest in Jeremy, and I just remember not thinking about it till we actually started dating, but that day when we were all sitting on the floor playing Trivial Pursuit, Jeremy actually sat next to me, so I don't know if he intended on that, because he did kind of mention once we started dating he kind of sort of crush on me, which is weird because I've never had anyone say that. Jeremy was my first ever boyfriend. I was his first ever girlfriend. So that's a fun little tidbit, guys. Have a great... I'm gonna see if I can get a clip of next week's episode. So that being said, guys, like I said, have a great weekend. Bye bye.
It's on the Wonder Years.
New place?
She's not moving into any house.
What do you need a house for?
And who are you?
I got a roommate. Isn't that pretty serious?
It's being handled.
I can't allow this, Karen.
It was going to be a lot cheaper than the dorm.
Cheaper?
That's what I said.
Wonderful.
Sounds good to me.